You are listening to the Midcurrent Church Podcast. For more information and to visit us online, go to midcurrentchurch.org. And now, here's Pastor Sten Carlson with today's message.
Hey, a number of years ago, I was made aware of a website that contained an endless amount of top five lists. For example, there was the top five reasons why librarians are nuts. Okay, sorry if you are a librarian, that was just the list. Okay, there was the top five, I like this one. There was the top five rejected superheroes. One of them was the Cuddler. Okay, it doesn't have quite the same ring to it as the Incredible Hulk. Okay, there was yet another one that I found amusing as well. It was the top five differences in a world without men. Does anybody want to know what the top five differences were? I'm going to read them for you here today. Okay, number five, top five differences in a world without men. Number five, as far as the eye can see, jars remain unopened. Okay, number four, this one's hard for me to say out loud. ESPN now stands for the Estrogen Salad and Potpourri Network. Number three, headlines would read, Taylor Swift seizes global power with a bloody victory over Oprah Winfrey. Number two, Bill of Rights Amendment number one, in a world without men, would read, toilet seats shall be permanently glued down in a world without men. And number one difference in a world without men, batteries in TV remotes would last forever. Okay, I thought that was kind of funny, right? Maybe not. Okay. Either way, here's the deal. The top five website, the top five list, they got me thinking. What if I was to create my own top five list? What would I have to say? Okay. Would I have anything to contribute to a website like this that anyone would care about, that anyone would want to read about? What would I say if I was to create my own top five list? Well, the truth is, there is one thing I feel like I could maybe talk most about these days, and it's this church. I've been kind of involved with it for the last 5 years, and I figure, man, today is the perfect day for me to share a top five list about this church as we celebrate 5 years as a church. And so here's what you guys are in luck. Here's what I decided to do for you today. I decided to share with you the top five reasons why we started a church. Top five reasons why we started a church. Because the truth is, it was a big decision. I mean, it was actually a big risk. We started this thing with no one. I mean, you heard Haley mention that we had about 30 people raise their hands. Before that, we had none. We had two. We had me and my wife, right? We started with nothing and with no one. And we started this church with no guarantees that any of this would go anywhere. And we knew that it was required, and it did, right? But we knew that it was going to require a lot of sacrifice from a lot of people. We knew it was going to be hard work. And so the question is, why in the world? Why would we do all that? Why would we take that risk? Why would we go through it all? Why go through, you know, hauling a trailer full of gear and setting up early and tearing down late every Sunday with you know, no place to gather throughout the week? Why do it all? Why go through all the blood and through all the sweat and through all the tears? Why do it? Why chance it? Why take the risk? It's great questions. And so today I want to share with you the top five reasons why we did it all, why we started this church. And consequently, if you're new today or if you're newer to Midcurrent, as I share the top five reasons why we started a new church, you'll in turn learn a little bit about the heart of this church as well. So without further ado, here we go. Here are the top five reasons why we took a chance and started this church. Here's reason number five. The St. Croix Valley, like I would argue most communities today, needed a different kind of church. The truth is, I'll be honest with you, the St. Croix Valley didn't necessarily need another church? All right, we actually put this question on the homepage of our very first website, and we answered it there too. The website said, does the St. Croix Valley need another church? And we put the answer on there. No, it doesn't, honestly. At the time I moved here, Hudson alone had like 20 plus churches, right? And so we didn't plant a church because we thought we were better than them. We didn't plant because we thought, well, no, you know, they're no good, right? It's not a competition. Truthfully, we're on their team. I'm cheering for them. But I was convinced that perhaps there was a kingdom need for us or for someone to be a little bit different from. See, I've always been captivated by the instructions that were written for what we call worship when we gather together like this. There's instructions written in the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians, which was just a letter that Paul, he wrote to the first ever Christians in Corinthians. And he wrote about some of the more spiritual activities that take place in worship. And here's what he writes. Again, he's one of the first church planters ever. Here's what he says about some of those things that people wanted to incorporate into the worship gathering. And I'm reading from the Message translation. Paul writes this to them. He says, so where does it get you? All this speaking in tongues that no one understands. It doesn't help believers, and it only gives unbelievers something to gawk at. Other translations say, unbelievers will think you're crazy. When they walk in and they don't understand what you're doing or what you're singing or what you're praying, right? He goes on, he says, plain truth speaking, on the other hand, goes straight to the heart of believers and it doesn't get in the way of unbelievers. I love that. We gotta ask ourselves, when people who are just kicking the tires of this Jesus thing, when they walk in the doors of a church, what are they gonna experience? Will it all sound like a foreign language to them? Or, you know, all the songs and all the prayers and all the stuff, will we all sound crazy? Or will there be plain truth speaking for them to hear and to understand and to respond to? I have always said from day one of this church that we will be faithful to God's word and we will do the hard work to make it as approachable and as accessible and as understandable as possible to everyone who walks through our doors. And that's not, just in case you're curious, that's not at the expense of mature Jesus followers who often respond to this kind of thing by saying, well, what about us? You know, what about us who are a little bit further along in our faith? What is there for us? What about us? If those are questions that people are asking, I would direct you right back to what Paul says. He says, plain truth speaking, it goes to the heart of believers and it doesn't get in the way of unbelievers. Folks, I do not want to get in the way of people who are turning their hearts and their lives toward Jesus. So, we're gonna talk, and we're gonna dress, and we're gonna organize and present ourselves a little bit differently, and we're gonna baptize people in portable hot tubs, which is a little bit different, right? We're gonna do all that stuff in hopes of creating a different kind of church experience. We're not reading, hear me very clearly, we're not reading from a different Bible, we're not preaching a different version of the truth or following a different version of Jesus, but we are willing to use a different method to share a timeless message. I'm always saddened to think of an old coworker of my wife's when we lived out in Colorado, just married and we lived out in the Front Range. And she had a coworker. He wasn't a Jesus follower. He wasn't really a church goer. And he was at our church for a community-wide event one Saturday morning. And when we invited him inside to see the main worship space, we said, come on inside. He was hesitant to do so. And he joked, although I'm not sure if he was joking, but he joked that he'd probably be struck by lightning if he stepped inside. I think he was joking, but I think you could see there was some part of him that felt like maybe that was true. If he walked inside, something bad would happen. And I thought to myself, man, I'll never forget this moment. I thought to myself, man, what a bummer that his experience in church or that his understanding of church meant that he couldn't even step inside on a Saturday morning. It just reinforces my commitment. It did then and it does now. It reinforces my commitment to create a different kind of church that sends a different kind of message than that. That's one of the first things you need to know about why in the world we would start another church, because I think there's a great opportunity to present a different kind of church experience to a world and to people who are turning their hearts to Jesus. That's reason number five. Here's reason number four. Sometimes God cares more about what he can do in us than what he can do through us. Let me say that again. Sometimes God cares more about what he can do in us than what he can do through us. This was incredibly true for me. In fact, this one idea that's up on the screen, it is what initially changed my heart about starting a church. My wife and I, we actually said no for an entire year. We said no to the first time that this option to plant a church. We said no to the first time that this option was presented to us. It sounded like too much work. Quite frankly, I didn't think that I had it in me. I thought, I don't know if I can do that. And number three, if I'm being really honest with you, if I pull the curtain back on my own heart and my own life here, it wasn't glamorous enough. Okay? Sounded like too much work. I wasn't sure that I had what it takes, and it wasn't glamorous enough for me. Driving around trailers full of gear and meeting in weird places and shoving kids down into a basement, you know, that wasn't meant for them, and cleaning up whiskey bottles from the wedding of the group that rented the building the night before that we used the building, and cleaning toilets on Sunday morning from the same group because the toilets never got cleaned and there was no one else to do it other than me. I don't know if I knew that was going to be the case at the time. Somehow I had a sense. I'm not sure I was interested in all that. But then I was at a conference where one of the speakers said, I'll always remember this, one of the speakers said, planting a church, it's just a way of talking about starting a new church. One of the speakers said, planting a church is a spiritual activity. And he said, what I just put on the screen in front of you, he said, sometimes God cares more about what he can do in you than what he can do through you. And at that moment, I knew that planting a church was going to be my next step of obedience to God, because that's what God cared most about for me at that time in my life. It was far more about what God would do in me than what God could do through me. And friends, I think the same is true for all of you. I think it's true for anyone that's crazy enough to raise their hand and to jump into this thing called a church plant. Because the truth is, planting a church is a spiritual activity. It changes us. It stretches us. It challenges us. It pushes us past our own limits, and it forces us to rely in all moments, and we did. It forces us to rely solely on God. And I, for one, I want to be surrounded by people, and I want to be a part of a community that is solely dependent on God. Planting a church, starting a church, linking arms with a new young church is oftentimes about what God wants to do in us more than it is about what God wants to do through us. That's reason number four. Here's reason number three. The world needs more churches, okay? I read one statistic this past week, and I don't know if the numbers are spot on, but I read one statistic that said 18% of Americans attend church on any given weekend. 18%. Okay, so in a little, you know, there's a little part of me that says I have to admit maybe I was wrong. I guess I have to change the answer to the question that we first posed long ago. Does the world need another church? Back then we said no. Well, in light of 18% of Americans going to church on a weekend, I guess I gotta say, well, maybe at least Americans need another church, or we need something. We need something. I don't know what it is, but we need something. 18%. Okay, now let me be clear once again. Maybe number five and maybe number three. I don't know. Maybe they overlap here. But let me be clear once again. We didn't start a new church to compete with churches that already existed. We didn't start another church to try and attract people that go to church. No, we started a new church to try to make a dent in the 82% of the country that doesn't go to church. We start new churches to do our little part in the whole, a part that is unique to us and who God called us to be in our little slice of the kingdom here in Hudson, Wisconsin. It takes all of us. It takes all of us, and I think we need a lot more of us to jump into the game. In the same letter that Paul, this first ever church planter, in the same letter that he writes to Christians in this city of Corinth, he talks about the special part that each person plays in the life of a church. And he compares each person's contribution to the parts of a human body and how each part has its own purpose. Here's what he writes. He says, if the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? He finishes saying, hey, there's many parts, but there's only one body, and God has created each part the way he intended to for a specific purpose. Paul was writing this about the gifts that individuals bring to the table, but I can't help but think the same is true about churches. We play a part in the whole. It's not a competition. We're on the same team. We play a small part in the big picture, right? In our early days as a church, and to some degree now, I would often have people come to me and say, hey, did you see such and such a church across town? They're doing this thing or that event or that, you know, class. We should do that thing or that event or that class. And I would always say, not necessarily. I mean, maybe. But my response would be, not necessarily. Let them do them and let us do us. Right? Why would we just as a default try to do the same thing? Why would the hands ever look to the feet and say, man, we should be a lot more feet-like and do a lot more feet-like kind of activities, shouldn't we? Why? That would be silly and ultimately pretty unproductive. We play a part in the whole, and we need more parts to make a dent in a world that does not know Jesus. At 82%, the market share is plentiful, folks. We don't need to be fighting over potential church members. There's plenty of them out there. And it's going to take all kinds of, and maybe at times more, Bible-believing, Jesus-following churches to reach them. And so we started a church to attempt to do just that. I want to make a dent in the 82%. It's reason number three. Here's reason number two. Why in the world would we take the risk to plant a church? Here's reason number two. Jesus told us to. Jesus told us to. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus had some parting words for his disciples. His last words to them, they're known as the Great Commission. Here's what he says to them. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, I recognize that Jesus' words here don't actually mention specifically church planting. He didn't say, so go and plant churches. But folks, I want you to understand, planting churches is a necessary part of that equation. I love what Pastor, and ultimately he's a great thinker and a great theologian. I love what Pastor Timothy Keller says. He says this, the vigorous, continual planting of new congregations, new churches, is the single most crucial strategy for the numerical growth of the body of Christ in any city. But if new people are going to come to faith, are going to step through the doors of a church, that are going to open their hearts to God, there's a good chance a church plant is going to play a part in it. In fact, dozens of studies across the denominations, this ain't just one little, you know, group of churches, dozens of studies across denominations have found the average new church, a new church plant like we were 5 years ago, they found that the average new church gained 60 to 80% of its new members from the ranks of people who are not attending church or are not a part of a worshiping body. Okay? Statistics show time and time again that church plants are more effective at reaching new people and new people groups with the message of Jesus. And so as long as Jesus is asking me to go and make disciples, my understanding of that is going to be right here in the local church. My understanding of that is going to be to create a local church that's going to take a leading role and Jesus' mission for us. Why plant a church? I think Jesus told us to. And now, here's reason number one. Again, reason number one, why we would plant a church, why we would take the risk, why we would set up early, why we would tear down late, why we would clean the toilet, why we would do all the things, why would we take the risk? Here's reason number one. God lost something, and he wants it back. Why would we plant a church? Why would we go through all this? Because God lost something, and he wants it back. That single statement right there, it's the essence of what we call, and this is a big, scary, fancy-sounding word here, okay? This is the essence of what we call evangelism, which is just another word to talk about telling other people about the incredible good news of Jesus. This one statement, it sums it all up. It sums up why we would do that, why we would take the call to evangelism seriously. This is why we do what we do. This is at the heart of everything that I have given my professional life to. God lost something, and he wants it back. What did God lose? Simply put, he lost you, and he lost me. Right? God created humankind to be in perfect union, in perfect harmony, in a perfect relationship with him forever. But ever since that apple got the attention of human beings, and I'm not talking about the Apple iPhone, although I think you could make a case for it, ever since that apple got the attention of humankind, that perfect relationship was broken and busted, and human beings have been wandering far from God ever since. In Genesis chapter 3, we go all the way back to the beginning. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 9, after Adam and Eve have first sinned, the Lord called out to them. It says, the Lord called out to man, and he asked a question to them. He said, where are you? Where are you? And truthfully, folks, he's been asking you and me and all of humanity that same question ever since. Where are you? Where did you go? Where are you? Folks, it was at that moment, way back then, that God lost something that he treasured very, very dearly. And more than anything, he wants it back. God wants us back. God wants you back. God wants your neighbor back, or your coworker back, or your grocery bagger back, or your Starbucks barista back, or your fill in the blank. He wants them all. He wants us back. And he sent his son Jesus to this earth to provide a way back. Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm the truth, I'm the life. And if you're gonna be reunited with the Father, that road runs through me. Folks, we opened the doors of this church 5 years ago. It's crazy. On one hand, it's like, it feels like it's happened yesterday. On the other hand, I'm going, my goodness, 5 long years, okay? We opened the doors of this church 5 years ago. Not to scold people about the lives that they were living, not to be shaking our finger at people. Okay, we opened the doors of this church not to circle up all the perfect people in the world, not to create a members-only social club of all the people who look good and put a smile on their face and have this thing figured out. We didn't open the doors of this church to declare ourselves superior to the rest of the people in our community and in our neighborhoods. No. We open the doors of this church to reach more people in the name of Jesus and to help God be reunited with what it is and with who it is that he lost way back when. So in every single thing that we do, we have set out to create spaces and opportunities for real everyday people and a real God to meet once again. That was the goal on day one. It has not changed in the last 5 years. It is still the goal today, and I do not anticipate that changing anytime soon, as long as I have something to say about it. as long as we have friends and family and neighbors and coworkers and clients and customers who do not know the heart of God and who do not know the love of God and who do not know the lengths that God was willing to go to in order to be reunited with them, then it is going to be our goal to make this the place where they can meet. For the first time ever, or maybe just for the first time in a very, very, very long time. That's why. That's why we started a church. God lost something, and he wants it back. Now, let me close by saying this. Any good thing in your life or in your heart or in your family or in your faith that you have experienced here at Midcurrent in the last 5 minutes or in the last 5 years, anything good that you've experienced sitting in these seats or in the seats at Camp St. Croix or at something somewhere because of what God was doing here, any good thing that you've experienced in your life in the last 5 years here at Midcurrent, it is the result of a really good God and someone who prayed, someone who gave, someone who served, and someone who sacrificed here for you. Anything good you experienced happened because someone prayed, gave, served, committed, went above and beyond for you. And so the question that I want to ask you as we turn the page onto year number 6, the question I want to ask you is, will you do for someone else what someone else did for you? You're here today, sitting in this place, potentially with God moving in your heart or in your life or in your family. You are experiencing it all today because someone else prayed and gave and served and committed and sacrificed for you. So will you do for someone else in the next 5 years with someone else did for you? If so, I for one, I cannot wait. I cannot wait to see what the next 5 years would hold. Let me pray for us. God, we're blown away. We're blown away that you would use broken, imperfect people like us, like me, God, starting with me. We're blown away that you would use people like us to be a part of the amazing things that you want to be doing in this world and in this community. And so, God, we celebrate here today what you have done in the last 5 years in this place that we call Midcurrent, but more than that, God, we celebrate what you are doing in the hearts and the lives of the people that walk through these doors every single week. God, we want our hearts to be connected to your heart. We want the lives of our friends and our family and our neighbors and people that we rub shoulders with every day in our sphere of influence. God, we want their hearts to be connected more to your heart. God, so would you lead us? Would you guide us to ensure that this is a place where that connection can happen? God, would you lead us and guide us and help us to remain, God, as clear as ever about what it is that we want to be about, God, a place where real people and a real God can meet. God, we believe you're real, we believe you're powerful, we believe you love us so much, and we want to do everything we can to create a place here where our hearts are connected to yours in really powerful ways. God, we believe, and we've said it from day one, that we think this church was your idea long before it was our idea, so would you keep leading the way? And God, would you keep nudging us? Would you keep encouraging us? Would you keep tapping us on the shoulder? Would you keep dropping assignments onto our lap about how and where you would call us and use us to bless the world around us and to bless this community in big ways? God, we thank you so much for who you are, and most of all, we thank you for your son, Jesus, who you sent to this earth to provide a way back to you once again. And it is in his name that we pray here today.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Midcurrent Church. Visit us online during the week at midcurrentchurch.org and connect with us on Facebook and Instagram.